Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you here this morning. I'm just kidding. Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. We thank you for this chance to come together as believers and to study your word and learn more about you, Lord, draw closer to you and to sing praises to your name. We just pray that as we talk about a new topic this morning, that you would guide us in our discussion, Lord, and just let it affect our hearts in a very special way, Lord. And we just give this time over to you. And it's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. So this morning's topic is one that it's kind of a paradox because you all don't need to hear it because it's about attending church. Obviously, you guys know about attending church. Once again, this morning's topic was inspired by a personal experience. With my wife not being a believer, she's often asked me why I go to church, why I attend so many church functions, and I'm so involved in the things of the church. She asks me many times, "Isn't church once a week on Sundays enough?" And so I want to be able to explain why it's so important for me to be an active member in my church and why regular attendance is so important. But even beyond my own personal experience, how many of you have ever heard someone say something to the effect of, "I don't need to go to church because my relationship is a personal thing with the Lord"? And even among Christians, it's not clearly understood the importance of regular attendance at a godly church. And this is an issue that must be clearly understood, even among Christians. It seems that some Christians like to use the whole personal relationship thing as a way of getting out of attending church. So we're going to look at this and discuss why we need to be attending a godly church. Not only is it important to attend, but I believe it is important to become an active member of such a church. So is attending church necessary? Well, that depends on what you mean by necessary, okay? If you mean salvation, then no. Attending church is not necessary for salvation. There's nothing in the Bible that says that you must attend church to be saved. That is where the personal relationship with God takes place, is in your salvation. So if you ask me if you must attend church in order to be saved, then my answer is absolutely not. But I would go as far as to say that regular attendance at a godly church is necessary for the best chance to live a strong, sanctified Christian life. And I know that sounds like a bold statement and one that some people might argue with, but hopefully you'll understand why I say that by the time we're done. I've known many Christians who claimed that they were saved, yet never attended church, never attended any church functions, had no relationship with any kind of body of believers, and you could tell. I mean, there was no conviction in their lives. They were into the wrong things, hanging out with the wrong crowds, and you could just tell that they were weak Christians, if they were even Christians at all. Now, I'm in no place to question whether or not they were truly saved, but I think that it's proof positive that attending a church regularly is very necessary for living a sanctified life. And to be sanctified means to be separated from the world. God calls us to be sanctified, but he doesn't call us to be alone. He wants us as a body of believers to be sanctified together. So just because we're separated from the world doesn't mean we're on our own. We have our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to lean on. So is the church necessary for salvation? No. Is church necessary for Christian living? Yes, I believe so. And I've been in that situation myself. In my time in the military, I stopped attending church, and I felt the effects of that. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more later. So what are some reasons why we need to attend church? Why do we attend church? Well, I came up with a few here, and again, I'm probably going to fire through these pretty rapidly so that we've got some time for discussion, some time for some fellowship as well. So the first reason that we attend church is for worship. We all worship God with our daily lives, but there is something very special about setting time apart with other believers and worshiping as a congregation. And I'm not just talking about the singing. I mean, that's a big part of it, but the entire church service is worship to God. From the music, to the prayer, to teaching, to the fellowship, it's all about worshiping God. You don't get that on your own at home. So I'm not saying that you can't worship on your own, because you can, but again, there's something very special and uplifting about being with a family of believers during your worship time. Any questions or comments on worship? Okay. Like I said, we're just going to rip right through these. Teaching. This is the second reason why we attend church would be for teaching. And this is where a large portion of our time is spent every Sunday, is in the reading and teaching of God's Word. Now, we as Christians should be in God's Word daily in our personal reading and devotions. However, the teaching that goes on here at church from a pastor is very important as well. If a pastor is doing his work properly, and then he is preparing his message that the Lord wishes to give. I believe that a Spirit-led pastor will, by the grace of God, prepare a lesson that God knows that at least one, if not every one of us, needs to hear that particular week. Even if something is being taught on a passage that you think you know very well on your own, many times hearing the instruction of a pastor brings out things we may have overlooked, things we may have misunderstood, or things that we've even misinterpreted. So there's a reason that God puts pastors and elders in their positions within the church, and that's the spiritual teaching and shepherding of the flock, or the church body. So the teaching and learning from God's Word is a very critical part of why we need to attend church on a regular basis. The next one is prayer. Corporate prayer is very powerful. It's a way of unifying ourselves and lifting our needs up to the Lord with one accord. Corporate prayer is also a way of opening ourselves up to one another. It gives us an opportunity to open ourselves up to one another, to love one another and to support one another, and sometimes to even meet each other's needs. Many times someone mentions a prayer request and God puts a burden in someone's heart right then and there to meet that need. Give you an example. Anthony and Natalia, just several weeks ago, they voiced a prayer that they were needing a crib for this wonderful new baby that they've got. And the very next week, they were giving a praise that someone had met that need. Someone had that burden placed on their heart by God, and that need was met. So corporate prayer gives us an opportunity to let each other know what's going on in our lives, to support one another, and to meet each other's needs when God moves us to do that. The next reason, boy, I'm going really quick here. Does anybody have anything to say to slow me down here? Because I'm going to be done in about 5 minutes. Jeez. The next thing is fellowship. And this is something that I believe that all of us here enjoy. In particular, here at River Valley Bible Church, I know we've all felt it. The joy of being with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. The conversations, the support, the love that you feel from one another. I see it going on here every week, and it's such a pleasure to be a part of that. As Christians, we are called to live a certain standard, and it can be difficult at times, but it helps to have a circle of friends who are like-minded, who you don't have to explain your beliefs to because they already know and have the same beliefs. Again, I didn't have that when I was in the military. That was a time in my life when I stopped attending church regularly. And I would go every once in a while, but certainly not enough to develop the kind of friendship that I have with many of you. And I suffered for it. I was a weak Christian. I was under constant attack from my fellow Marines and who lived for themselves and expected me to come along for the ride. So my circle of friends was a poor one that took a toll on my walk with God. But here, all of you are my friends. All my life, my family's core friends were people from the church. That's just who we hung out with. That's who we bonded with. And we have a special bond with one another that is unlike any other because of who we are in Christ. And it's such a wonderful thing. It really is. The next reason that we attend church, and these are in no particular order of importance or anything. These are just, I'm just spitting these out, is encouragement, or to serve and be served. So you can look at it either way, to serve and be served or encouragement. This goes hand in hand with the fellowship, being amongst fellow believers, having the bond that we do, knowing each other's struggles, feeling each other's pain. We all have the ability to support and encourage one another in a very unique way. We all know that our true source of strength and courage comes from the Lord, but we as believers have the ability to be used as God's instrument of delivering that strength and courage. Again, because we're among believers, we can tell each other things and talk about things that we can't talk about with the rest of the world because they just don't understand. I know that John Larson and I, we talk about business from time to time. He and I are both in a similar sales type of situation, and so he and I kind of understand each other's financial burdens at times, and we're able to talk about that. You know, out in the public, if somebody asks me how's business going, you know, it's kind of natural to say, oh, it's going fine, it's going great, or whatever. You know, you kind of put up that false facade, but you know, with fellow believers, we understand the struggles, and we were able to unload those burdens on each other, and he does the same for me, and it's just a true joy to be able to take part in that. And again, that's because we both know what it's like to have to rely on God's provision, and so it's just something that we have in common. So it's really a very special thing to be able to encourage one another and to rely on one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So again, talking about the bond that we have and the uplifting of one another, it truly is a wonderful thing that we can do that here in this church. Number six is accountability. And by accountability, with attending church regularly, you establish a system of accountability. And not only are you refocused on God each Sunday, which is a form of self-accountability, but there is accountability among your fellow believers. Not only can we hold each other accountable, but each of our spheres of influence hold us accountable. And let me explain that. For instance, Dave Neufeld, as you all know, works for the fire department. So not only can he hold me accountable, but all of the guys that are in the fire department know that I attend the church with him, and so all of them hold me accountable. So we each have these spheres of influence in our lives, and so it's kind of like just this exponentiality to it, that the more people we touch, the more accountability we have around us. The more people that know you're a Christian and know that you go to this church, the more eyes that are on you, the more holy of a life you are encouraged to live. I mean, ultimately, we strive to live righteously for God, but the more eyes that are on us, the less opportunity we have to slip. Again, that's something that I didn't have in my time in the military, because I didn't have a church family to hold me accountable. I had more freedom to get away with things I shouldn't have been doing, or at least I thought I was getting away with it. As we all know, we don't get away with anything, and God will hold us all accountable for everything. But you know, in our human mind frames, in the moment, we think that we're getting away with it because nobody is seeing us. So attending church and building a church family creates a support system for accountability. Turn with me. I'm just about done. I told you I was going to be quick this morning. But turn with me to Psalm chapter 95. This is a wonderful passage. And I'm just going to read this out loud, and you'll notice I'm going to emphasize a certain word as I read through this, and I think this again points to how God wants us to be together as believers in our walk. "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all kings. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. So all throughout that, you could hear the us and our and we. And so again, we're called to gather together as a body of believers and worship together, pray together, learn together, encourage one another. These verses here in Psalms, all the verses stress the collective. God doesn't want us to go through this world alone. He doesn't want us to struggle through life without anyone to support us. That's what the church does. You know, in this life, in our Christian walk with the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and to strengthen us and to convict us. And I believe that the Lord delivers those things to us through our fellow believers in Christ. The church allows us to bond with fellow believers so that we can be used by God to help each other out in our walk. And all of this is done for God's glory. End. 15 minutes. Yes, go ahead.
You used the one passage in Hebrews that I was going to reference, you know, exhorting us not to forego corporate worship. And, you know, I just missed 3 weeks of church either by being gone or being sick, and it felt weird. I mean, I don't think I've missed 3 weeks of church since I became a believer. And so it just feels weird not coming here. I missed everybody. The singing, and that is true. The fellowship that you have, the learning that you have, it does get you through the week. It's supposed to edify and lift everybody up. The other thing that a lot of people use about not going to church is because of something they've seen, whether it's the falling out of the TV evangelist or something, they look at the hypocrisy of the organized religion and look at the church as that. I don't want to be part of that. But that's because they're weak in the Word. They don't understand what God wants us to do and behooves them to go out there and search out a congregation that is going to be doctrinally sound. You know? And that's the difference between when we look for a church after we really understood. It is rather than going there and going, wow, this is really cool. I like this. First thing I do when I walk in, where's your doctrinal statement? I want to know first, are they scriptural? Are they following God's word and everything? And then I look for, you know, how the body is worshiping together and everything else. So that's just part of we Christians when they use that. So that's a poor excuse not to go to church just because this one has this problem. Whatever, so.
And you brought up a good point that, as I talked about this, I tried to make sure I emphasized a godly church, a Bible-believing church, and that's probably a whole other class that we could do is how to select a proper church, but I didn't think that fit in very well with my series here, so maybe I'll leave that up to Craig, but yeah.
I think another thing that, like, kind of becomes, like, skeptical to believers is like one friend, she's been meaning to come back to church, but it's just kind of like how structured everything is. And I've been meaning to try and look somewhere in the Bible, like why that is and why it has to be that way. And it's just that if that's one of the things that can drive people away, it's astounding because, like, I mean, our God's not a God of disorder. Like there's a perfect way of doing things. There's a perfect reason why he does everything. If she just needs to examine herself for that reason or what, but it's just, if that's one reason driving people away, it makes me wonder what other reason people just kind of like stop going to church and stuff.
It's all worldly reasoning. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Usually that's a weak, you know, the reason for that Well, all the structure, you know, the state structure for order, said that the God is in the order. We do things because we want to do things in an orderly fashion and incorporate all the things that, you know, all the attributes that you said in the service that we want, worship and praise and prayer and all those kind of things. The one thing we can do is get in a situation where there's different religions where tradition has become as important as the word, and we can't fall into that trap of that's the way we always done it. If we've done it that way because that's scripturally sound, then that can be maintained, but that doesn't mean we can't change, you know, or add things or whatever. But what happens if we came in here and we had no book, we had no order? It would be chaos. So you come in there and you say, this is our worship service. This is the way it's ordered. So.
You hear that, Bob? Make sure you get those bulletins out. It would be chaos.
Chaos. Yes. I would wonder why that person continues to go to school.
And work.
Oh my God, yeah. Anything else?
Punching a clock that's so stringent.
Anyone else?
Do they stop at red lights?
Anyone else?
I just a thought.
Go for it.
Along the same lines of what kind of you opened up with, both Janine and I, while they were differing religions, we both grew up in a religion. And in those religions, there was that expectancy that we were supposed to go and sift through what was taking place. And after we recognized what the Christianity of the Bible truly is, and that it is kind of what you described here this morning about the fellowship, it's about the worship, it's about loving God in return for what He's done for us and doing it with others that love God too. All of a sudden, instead of church being something that we had to do or were expected to do, all of a sudden it became something that we really wanted to do. We loved it. We enjoyed being with those other people and learning from God's Word, which is something that had never taken place before, you know, in these other religions. They read from God's Word, but there wasn't that teaching aspect. And for the longest time, our family, we would tell them, right, we're going to Wednesday night Bible study, we're going to Sunday morning Sunday school, we're going to church. Well, you have to go. And our response was always, we really don't have to go, but I can't think of anything else that I'd rather do. And it's been difficult for us, not difficult, but just a new adjustment now that I'm a pastor. All of a sudden, we're kind of back in the situation to where they see it as we have to go. You know what I mean? And in one way, we kind of do. But anyway, just that's just the difference between religion and biblical Christianity. It's not a matter of having to do anything. It's a matter of loving.
And I think many of us can attest to that same kind of story, that, you know, in our Christian walk, it was kind of that, you know, I have to go. And you realize you reach a certain point of spiritual maturity when you realize that you enjoy going and you love to go. Did you have something?
Yeah, I just kind of thought of this, like, for the Christian that doesn't really, like, go to church, like, is, like, very eager to go and willing. How much can they learn from the Bible? Because, like, I, on my own, like, in my own devos, I can only, like, go so, I only learn so much, and there's so much I pass over and didn't know about things. And then, like in church, when you go over that, it's like, oh, I didn't know that. And they're like, and it, like, changes the whole perspective of things. Like, things that were misinterpreted were now right and stuff. So, it's like the Christians who don't go to church and they do their personal devos, if they do, It's like, how much are they missing out on? And are they distorting anything or taking things out of context and mm-hmm. stuff? And just, it's kind of worrisome.
Absolutely. Ted?
Yeah, you know, you look, go back and Jesus himself, that was one of the things that he really, you know, against the Pharisees and the Sadducees was because it was all about legality. They had built up such a legal system, and he says, look, you've lost sight, you know, you've got the letter of the law, but you've lost sight of the heart of the law, you know, and it's, and so we're coming from the heart, not because we have to, you know, so it was all on the outside, not on the inside of them.
Absolutely. Very, very good point. Very good point. Anyone else? Okay, well, like I said, we're done pretty early, so we're going to have plenty of time for all that wonderful fellowship that we talked about. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just once again thank you, Lord. We thank you for your church, Lord, and our fellow believers in Christ that we have around us, Lord. We thank you for the bond that we have in one another because of what you did for us. We thank you that you have created a time and a place for us to be able to gather together and to fellowship with one another, to lift our praises and prayers up to you, Lord, and to learn from your word. We just pray that we would always keep you in our focus, Lord, and we would always keep you in our hearts, not only on Sundays, but every day of our lives, Lord, that our daily worship would be of you, Lord. As we dismiss now and head into our regular Sunday service, Lord, I pray that you would be with those that attend, get them here safely, Lord. Let us let it be a glorifying time to you, Lord. Let it be a blessing to us. Be with the music team as they lead in singing praise to your name, Lord. Be with Pastor Craig as he delivers the message that you've prepared in his heart this week. And just be with the hearts of the congregation. Open them up to hear that message, Lord. We just, again, pray that everything that we would do, not only this morning, but every day of our lives, would be glorifying to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.